This podcast thanks to OFX, the experts in global money transfer. Transfer funds 24/7 with no hidden fees. The smart money's on the smart move. Go to OFX.com.
Dr. Joe Kosterich joins us now. It's time for our weekly check-in as well. If you've got a question for Dr. Joe, now's the time to call. 13 12 83 is our number. And we're checking out some new research, Dr. Joe, this week. It's revealed that women who take probiotics while pregnant and breastfeeding might be less likely to have children with eczema than mothers who don't. Interesting and obviously an emotive link. But what do we know about this background study?
Yeah, g'day, Ed. This is interesting work, which again, by itself, you may not pay a lot of attention to, but builds on a very substantially increasing body of work which looks at the human microbiome, which is the bacteria we have in our gut. And there are something like 10 times or more as many bacteria in the human gut than there are human being cells. So they do have a role, and we haven't really understood it. There's been work previously that suggests, in fact, has shown that children who are raised in hypersterile environments seem to have higher rates of asthma, eczema, which is like a form of dermatitis on the skin, and hay fever. Whereas you look at children who are more raised in rural environments and even comparing sort of first world to third world countries, you see lower rates of some of these problems in arguably poorer areas because, you know, they still play in the dirt and do these sorts of things. They don't try to make their homes completely, germ-free. So this work looked at use of probiotics, and listeners will probably be familiar with probiotics you can get in a capsule at the chemist or health food short store, which puts, you know, some good bacteria back into your system. And this work showed that women who were using a probiotic whilst they were pregnant or breastfeeding, there were lower rates of eczema in children from these women. Now, it's never, you know, you can never say that correlation equals causation. So there might be other factors at play. But we also know that children who have children born by cesarean section also have higher rates of some of these conditions because they don't pick up the bacteria that they'd normally get through the birth canal.
Yeah.
So really what we're saying is these bacteria are important and there are different ways of making sure children get them from an early age.
Okay, what we do know for sure, kids, it's all right to play in mud and dirt, just don't bring it into daddy's car. That's pretty much the rule we live by.
If you're going to, make sure you clean it up.
No. Don't bring it into daddy's car at all. 13 12 83 is our number. Taking some calls to Steve's in Greenvale this afternoon. Hi, Stephen.
G'day, doctor. I was just wondering, I had this condition where my eyelids were always inflamed and itchy and burning, and I always thought it was the shampoos I was using. And I saw an ophthalmologist, and he said it was calcium deposits. And then I saw a dermatologist, and he said I've got dermatitis above the eyebrows. So it didn't really matter what I washed with. It would always brush down my eyes and cause irritation. Can you tell me, does either of those sound possible?
It doesn't. And look, it's very difficult to give any opinion without sort of seeing the situation. The calcium doesn't sound quite right. I must have not heard or come across that. Dermatitis or eczema, which is some of the topics we're talking about at the moment, can affect any part of the body, including the eyelids. And to that extent, it may not be a function of the shampoo because it might not be an allergy. Often people are advised to experiment and see whether one is better or worse than the other. But what you describe sounds more like a blepharitis, where it can affect the actual eyelashes. And that can be treated sometimes successfully with a very, very soft toothbrush. Like, sometimes people get a bit of caking and flaking around the area. Use the softest toothbrush you can find and a little bit of baby oil to try and clear out some of the muck and debris. If it is a form of dermatitis, then there are creams that can be used, and one would want to use only shampoos or conditioners that don't seem to aggravate it. But unfortunately for a lot of people, it's not quite that black and white. So it's probably not caused by a shampoo, put it that way.
There we go, Stephen. And dermatitis and eczema kind of used interchangeably, I assume. Is there a cure for eczema as such?
Short answer, Ed, is no.
Right.
Excluding where it's related to specific triggers or allergies. So, for example, if you always get eczema when you prune the roses, maybe it's not a good example because rose allergies are pretty rare, but say you always get it if you sit on the grass, then, you know, maybe it's just unfortunate you can't sit on the grass or you need to have a blanket there. So if it's a specific specific allergy and it's only caused in that circumstance, then yes, you can probably avoid it. But for most people, it isn't that simple. And so therefore, it's something that can be quite well controlled, can't always be cured, but a lot of people go into very, very long-term remission and, you know, only get it periodically.
All right. Now, people might say on the basis of this study, well, I didn't have any probiotics during pregnancy. What if I just add that now to my kid's diet and hope that it protects them against eczema?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think you could say it protects it to the extent that, you know, they could never get it. But what we do know is that part of, you know, healthy sort of growing up, and indeed for adults as well, that having enough good bacteria is important. So probiotics are something where we can look at it as something that we need, and it's going to be good for us, not so much as a specific treatment. I don't think it's fair to say, oh, look, you know, give these to your children, they won't get asthma and they won't get eczema. No, we're not saying that. If we give them, might it make it less likely that they get it? Or if they get it, might it be less severe? And I really want to underline that word. Then yes, and at absolute, absolute worst, if it doesn't make a massive difference this way, it's still going to be a good thing for them.
Is there any downside to adding probiotics to everyone's diet?
Not that's been shown so far.
Right.
I suppose like every single thing with the human body, there's going to be a point where we can probably go too far. I'm not sure anybody's reached that stage yet, and I certainly wouldn't be an advocate for trying to do it. I mean, if one takes a probiotic capsule each day or does it in bursts, you can't sort of overdose on them. Has there been shown to be any harms? Some people, if they are sensitive, they might find their bowels get a little bit looser than they're used to. Usually not to the point of any diarrhea. In fact, generally probiotics will help regulate and you get a better bowel function. But look, is it possible that some people might get some gut disturbance? Pretty rare and unlikely, but every person is different. And anything that you take, no matter who said it's good for you, if it's really not agreeing with your system, then it might mean that that one's not particularly good.
So as a matter of interest, what do you recommend most people consider? A bit of a multivitamin, maybe a probiotic might not be such a bad idea as well.
Yeah, there really isn't a one-size-fits-all. I think we can probably say modern lifestyle does go against our good bacteria. So if people wanted to say, well, what is something that probably is reasonable for everybody to take? And saying it's reasonable to take, I'm not advocating everybody takes it. Probably would be a probiotic and possibly a fish oil. None of us don't get enough of the omega-3s, and if we're eating 2.6 serves of fish per week, then we probably do, but a lot of us don't. Multivitamins can be a bit of a scattergun approach. So if you're deficient in iron, then a multivitamin won't have enough iron in it for you. If you're deficient in vitamin. So it's not a bad thing to take, but you're generally better to find specific vitamins or minerals that you actually need.
Yeah.
A general multi, again, it's not wrong, Ed, but if I had to pick my favourite two, for what it's worth, probably be the probiotic and the fish oil.
Done deal. All right, Dr. Joe, great stuff. We had Vivian standing by. We just have to duck to the news and weather, Vivian. We're sorry. We'll sort you out off air if we might. And Dr. Joe, we'll chat to you next Tuesday for another tune-up.
Thanks, Ed.
Drjoe.net.au is his website. Of course, he's always sussing out these incredible studies for us, bringing you the latest information.